Thank you for calling. This lesson is designed to deal with problems faced by many people. How can we know God exists, and how do we answer questions raised by skeptics and atheists about the Bible? We hope you will listen to this message with an open mind, and if you have questions or would like to hear more, we hope you will write us. An address will be given at the end of the lesson. Cavemen and the Bible. In our day and time, there has been a concerted effort by some members of the mass media to attempt to portray to the public the idea that it has been proven that man has evolved from an ape-like ancestor. Any person who reads the pages of the Word of God must necessarily recognize that a completely different perspective is given. In Genesis 1, beginning with verse 26, we read, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and of the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Certainly there is a contrast between the concept of man coming into existence by a long series of mechanical processes from some ancient ancestor, and the concept of God creating man uniquely and specially in his image. You may wish to listen to program number 504, What is God?, to get some better picture of what is meant by the concept of being created in the image of God. In that lesson, we mention the fact that it does not mean that man looks like God, but rather that man has a special spiritual quality that enables him to be distinguished from every other living thing upon the earth. When one looks at the evidence for the caveman, one must recognize that there are several different kinds of forms involved. First of all, there are records which show that our ancestors, in fact, were very primitive people. People who, in fact, probably had very little knowledge of how to live in a very hostile world. They were, for a while, gatherers who depended upon the land to provide their sustenance. Later, they were hunters who relied upon their ability to kill game in order to survive. It has only been in relatively recent time that man has had the capacity to develop agriculture and to be able to farm and to raise his own crops. The interesting thing is that the Bible also portrays such an image. When we turn back into the pages of the Bible in the third chapter of Genesis, we see that man, indeed, was very primitive. In the third chapter, the 21st verse, we read, "Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them." The interesting thing to realize is that man did not even know how to make his own clothes. Certainly he was primitive, and certainly he did not have a great knowledge of how to survive in the world in which he found himself. But nonetheless, this was man who was sensitive to his surroundings, man who appreciated beauty and created works of art, a man who worshipped God. There is no indication in this message that man came into being by a long series of gradual processes. And when we look at the fossil record of man, we find that once we get behind the individual which science calls Neanderthal man, we find an incredibly small amount of evidence. As a matter of fact, there has not been a complete skeleton of any individual found older than what is called Neanderthalensis. All of the ancient cavemen are drawn on the basis of a couple of small bones, perhaps a skull or two, but incredibly small amounts of evidence. And one must recognize that even if there was a complete skeleton, we would not know whether that skeleton was representative of people who lived or whether it was perhaps some kind of unusual specimen. As a matter of fact, the first skeletons of Neanderthal man showed him to be very hunched over and walking in a very unhuman-like form. Later, it was discovered that that individual that they had found, that first skeleton, had a very severe case of arthritis. With the small amount of evidence that is available, and with the total lack of link between man and some ape-like form, one has to be impressed with the accuracy of the biblical description. Even the fossil form, which is called the missing link, Australopithecus, can be shown very clearly to have been an ape. The individual had a brain size comparable to a gorilla. There has not been a complete skeleton found, although there have been many pieces. And the name itself supports the fact that it is clearly an ape, because the name Australopithecus literally means the ape from the south. And as a matter of fact, when we look at the description given in the Bible of where the Garden of Eden was located, we find a description that is very familiar to those who are anthropologists. In Genesis, the second chapter, we read that a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And the name of the first river was called Pison in verse 11. And a little further down, we see that the next river was called Gihon. The next one was called the Euphrates. This region is known as the Fertile Crescent. And if one turns to cultural anthropology and asks where the birthplace of civilization was, one is told the Fertile Crescent, which is a region that is bounded by these same rivers. Man began in that area, which in the Bible is referred to as the Garden of Eden. Then man spread throughout the world and prospered as God had commanded him to do. But every evidence we see is that the appearance of man was very sudden, and that man was in his developed form, able to do all the things that you and I are able to do, and looking very much like us. There is no evidence, or very little evidence, that there has been any gradual change from some ape-like ancestor to man. Man appears suddenly, and in a very advanced form, with all of the characteristics that distinguish us from other living things upon the earth. And the reason is because man has a soul. He is not a naked ape driven by the mechanics of the environment and the mechanics of the genetic change in his ancestors. Man stands unique in the creation, because man is that being created in the image of God.
The message you have just heard.